Kent Beadle. I'm the Director of Producer Brokerage at CHS Hedry.
Kent, let's talk about the markets this week following news of a preliminary trade agreement between the U.S. and China, in addition to a blizzard in the northern plains and upper Midwest and kind of a continued wet pattern for this harvest. I guess it seems like we've seen kind of choppy trade so far, but I'm looking at numbers right now that show, you know, corn is up 3 to 4 cents, soybeans are up about a dime. So what's your take on things right now?
Well, I think for a good portion of the early week trade, we were maybe discounting a little bit the impact of the quote-unquote trade deal. There was a lot of skepticism in the media around whether or not it really was a deal or just sort of the framework or the groundwork being laid for something that was going to get signed later on. I think the administration was fairly clear that it was going to be 3 to 5 weeks before what they had agreed upon in principle was going to be signed. And I think that had a lot of folks in the trade wondering if there wasn't going to be more backpedaling and whether or not, you know, the kind of sales in the size, quantities, dollar amounts that was being thrown around was really going to happen. I think there is still some skepticism about $40 to $50 billion annually of exports into China. That's a very, very large number, and it should it actually occur, would be exceptionally bullish, because it's real difficult to actually come up with a dollar figure of individual agricultural commodities that add up to that value. Even with the pork that they need, and even with the excess pork that we have, and even with the soybean carryout that we have, it would be tough to get something that high. But I think the market does believe that, you know, that the Chinese are interested in buying agricultural products. They have been doing so here as of late, and at least it's a good start. On the weather front, that's a more difficult situation, and I don't think the market is doing a very good job of pricing that in. As we talk with clients this week, across the Corn Belt, there are issues with this corn crop getting mature. There is still a lot of 30 to 40% corn in the Eastern Corn Belt, and there's a lot of that in the Western Corn Belt as well. And we have a few nice days coming up, but we've got a much below normal 6 to 10 and 8 to 14 day profile, and it just doesn't feel like we're necessarily going to get as many of these bushels to maturity as we would like.
Kent, back to China, I can see with the need for pork because of African swine fever that huge number that they're throwing out there makes sense. But then for soybeans, kind of because of the same issue, I have a harder time believing that they can commit to purchasing such large amounts of soybeans when they're not going to be feeding as many pigs in China because of the ASF outbreak. So I'm curious about your thoughts there about their actual demand for pork, their actual demand for soybeans in the year ahead.
So the thing that you have to keep in mind is that Chinese pork production is very fragmented, and there is an enormous amount of that production that is extraordinarily rural, extraordinarily localized, and in the hands of, you know, the peasant population who might have 3 to 5 pigs in their backyard that they are going to raise for their own personal consumption over the course of a year. And the kind of demand for soy protein for those pigs, I think, is much, much less. I think that what those pigs eat is actually, you know, up for debate. But there was a very interesting study here just a week or two ago that talked about the fact that, you know, the size of the herd may be down 50%, but the size of the demand for feed and meal was forecast to be only down about 17%. And we've already seen a fairly sizable cut in their demand for soybeans already from what was forecast to be somewhere in the neighborhood of 92 to 95 million tons down to something closer to 83 or 84 million tons. So, we're already moving in that direction. And then, ultimately it just kind of comes down to, who is it going to come from? Is it going to come from South America? Is it going to come from us? Clearly our supplies are down dramatically year over year, both because of yield and because of acreage. And, it's rather amazing, but we've cut into our soybean carryout, which, was threatening to be well over a billion bushels, now closer to 900, and next year forecast at 460, and probably going down from there.
So some friendly factors that we've talked about with the China progress and also the negative weather in the US. So from a marketing standpoint, Kent, what are some strategies? What are some kind of general guidelines that you would recommend right now?
When you look at the range that we've been in over the last year and a half now, these soybean prices are within about 20 cents of the high tick that we've had in the last year and a half, if you look at any one particular futures contract. And we're a good dollar and 20 cents off of the lows. So it isn't a bad time to actually start, taking a look at some marketing. The standard types of strategies, always apply. There is, futures sales or cash market sales if basis levels are good enough. And, quite frankly, there are some pretty good basis bids out there because there's a lot more space. A lot of the grain that is getting harvested is going into space. The industry is having a hard time buying enough of what it really needs right now. So, it might be as simple as a cash sale, followed by some sort of a call option or call option spread, to, open up the upside just in case the yields come down further on the November and January report, and or South American weather starts to become supportive if we would happen to see a continuation of the dry pattern they've had down there.